morning. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Psalms 92. Psalms 92. Today I want to talk to you about one of my favorite, one of my favorite months of the year. It's November. November the 8th, we were married 36 years ago. November is also Thanksgiving week. Also, hunting season opens in November. I grew up hunting, and here lately I haven't been, but in the past few years, but I always look forward to this time of year. I still do. Growing up in a large family, I told my wife I wanted to have 10 kids. And she says, not with me. We have four. And the Lord has blessed me with three boys and a daughter. Then he gave me another daughter, Tabitha. And Saturday I gained another daughter. So now I have three boys and three girls. The Lord is really good. Giving thanks unto the Lord. I want to talk to you about that today. We should be a people who are living in thanksgiving continually. Not just at Thanksgiving time of the year of giving thanks, but continually giving thanks. It says in Psalms 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name of the Most High. I brought the wrong glasses. So, y'all bear with me a minute. I'm going to read this passage. I think these are... Let me change glasses real quick. I bought an extra pair. I left my regular glasses, so I dug through my car and found some. Yeah, these are better. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Anybody ever heard Jack House's message on fresh oil? It's an awesome message. And I remember hearing him preach that message. And we all sit on the front row. Me and a bunch of my classmates. It says, mine eye also shall see my desire of mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So thanksgiving. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks causes us to have peace in our heart, joy in our soul, contentment. It causes us to have health. Medical science has finally figured out and understood what the Bible has said all along. Proverbs 17:22, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You see an old grouchy guy sitting around, never happy? He's going to be sick. He's going to be a sickly guy. But a happy person, it brings health to your bones. Gratitude is not an attitude, but it's gratitude is an action. And that's what he's talking about here. It causes us and puts us into action, into bringing praise to the Lord. It's thanksgiving. It's saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. People say, I'm thankful for my country. And I am too. I'm thankful for my country. But you'll hear a guy, and he went through this list of things that he's thankful for. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my job. And we name all these things that we're thankful for. But we leave out the most important part of that. I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful unto the Lord. You see, it's to the Lord that we give thanks. Only two times does the Bible say, be thankful. But hundreds of times it says, give thanks. It says, be thankful. Thanksgiving. To whom? It's to the Lord. Our thanksgiving should be to Him for what He's done in our lives. Not to our forefathers, not to the Indians that helped the pilgrims. Thank God that He sent them. Not for our Constitution. I'm thankful for that too. Or for our free enterprise nation system. Or I'm thankful for me, somebody may say. No, I'm thankful to the Lord. You see, when we bring our thankfulness to Him and our praise to Him, it delights the Lord to see His people give thanks, to see His people praise. It's to the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I love singing. I'm not a good singer, but I love to sing. I grew up in church, and I've been to many funerals as a singer. People would call my dad and say, can you come preach my husband's funeral or my son or my mother or whatever? And me and my sister would go, and we would be the singers at the funeral because they wouldn't have any singing. And I don't know how it made them cry more, I'm sure. Well, my sister did a pretty good job. But growing up, you think about your life growing up. And I loved my life growing up. I have 8 brothers and sisters. And when I was a kid, we lived next to the church. And the boys all had one room. My youngest brother slept in a bed, and my other 2 brothers slept in another bed. My 5 sisters slept in one room, and my mom and dad had a room. And then all the church would come. When church was ready to start, they'd come in the house. And I thought that was great. My poor mother, she was, you can imagine, ladies, being in a little bitty house and all the members there when you're trying to get ready for church. But I thought it was a grand thing. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read you a passage here. And I want you to listen to this. This will cause you to stop and think and say, am I a thankful person? And Herod was highly distressed with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus the king chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. I'm in Acts 12, verse 20. Verse 21 says, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an orientation unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is a voice of a God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Man, could you imagine that scene? Here's this guy giving himself praise, and the people said, oh, it's a voice of a God. And he stood a little taller, and he was eaten of worms. Remember the manna in Exodus? Some families would say, well, we know that this comes down every day, but what if it don't rain manna tomorrow? I'll tell you what, let's do. You know, I'm a saver, so let's save a little bit of it. And what happened the next day, it was full of worms. People try to use their brilliant minds to save extra and not give to God, and God takes it anyway. The Lord wants to give us manna every day, but he wants us to be a people of thanksgiving every day, not just once a year, but every day. We need to be dewormed. I remember my buddy's mother used to say, he needs a distemper shot. That's what we used to give our dogs, you know. My dad used to give us turpentine and sugar. You ever done that? You get a spoonful of sugar and you put turpentine on it, and you had to take that, and that'd keep you worm free. Y'all could try that if you want to. You see, that brings discontentment in your life. Worry, anxiety, ingratitude, grumpiness. That's what ungratefulness causes. Are your eyes on the political world? Are your eyes on the stock market? Are you distressed about current conditions in the world? What about a sickness you may have? I think of many people in our church that are suffering and going through sickness and have heard bad news lately. Give thanks to him because he's worthy of our praise and our thanks. You see, if God takes us, that's where we want to be anyway. We desire to be with him. I want to see my grandkids. I want to have more grandkids because they're a lot of fun. But if God takes us home, that's not a bad thing, believe me. It's what we need. We need to give thanks. Why do we need to give thanks? Worship delights our Father. When we worship him, when we give thanks to him, when we come together, our praise to him delights him. He delights in our praise. Singing praises. That's why we should sing. If you can't sing, just go ahead and sing anyway. Brother Peoples puts up with me singing next to him in the choir, so. And Brother Micah too. He's on the other side. We come together corporately to worship, to give thanks, to sing praises, and our Savior is delighted when we do that. It's like having all your kids around the dinner table. Isn't that a great time when all your kids are there and you're sitting around the table? It delights you. I'm happy about that. I remember us all sitting around the dinner table when I was growing up. My mom was the best cook in the world. She could take a little bit of nothing and turn it into a gourmet meal. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he said that we must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit is from the heart. And in truth is by the book. That's how we're to worship. From the heart. And by the book. See, you have to know what the Bible says in order to worship properly. You have to have the right heart attitude in order to come and worship the Lord properly. He seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth. When we do that, he draws near to us. Draw near unto him, and he'll draw near to you. He delights in that. See, the church exists for three reasons. For edification, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, the equipping of the body, teaching God's word. Evangelizing, to see people come into the kingdom. That's why we exist. Do you desire to see people saved? And then exaltation. That's the main thing, is exalting him, the one who died for us, our Savior. So it delights us. Worship delights us. It says you'll be like the palm tree. A palm tree is one of the only trees that never quits producing as it gets older. The older it gets, the better it produces. You want to flourish like a palm tree? Plant yourself in the place of praise, in the house of God. Come into his house with a thankful heart. So many of us come to church for different reasons. But do you come to give thanks unto him, to sing praises unto his name? That's why we should come. And then our worship should exist to develop our family, our church family. We have all kinds of different beliefs, all kinds of different personalities. You run into people and you talk to people on Sunday mornings and you'll see all kind of personalities, all kind of ways, maybe peculiar to you, some of them. Some of you are politically different than I might be. That's why we're praying for you. Some theological points you might differ on. But we all come together. Why do we come? To try to get business? To show everybody our new suit? No, we come to sing praises to him and to give thanks unto the Lord. Unity. That unifies us as a body of believers. See, when we come to the cross, we see ourselves just like God sees us. If you've never seen yourself before a holy God, then that's what you need to do in order to come to him, in order to be saved. When they dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, they dedicated the temple and all the people in one accord begin to sing praises, and it says, the glory of the Lord filled the temple with smoke, with a cloud. He was satisfied. Praise causes us to raise our hand sometime. Miss Easley in our church, she'd get happy and she'd raise her hands. Some people say, look at her, you know. I thought it was great. Some people cry when they get happy. Some people may laugh. Some people may want to testify to tell what God has done for them. But you see, when it draws attention to yourself, our praise, when you begin to draw attention to yourself by falling out on the floor, screaming and barking like a dog or something like that, and that's not pleasing to God. You see, our praise should draw attention to him, not to me. But our praise should be to him. If we become a distraction, then we break the unity of others in our praise. That can be a tough line sometimes. But what you do, what do you do about it? You pray to the Lord. You look at his word. Say, Lord, am I? Don't let me be out of line on this. But let's praise the Lord. I've been to places where a preacher, when I said barking like a dog, that actually happened. At a camp meeting where he said, watch this. And he got up and barked like a dog, and some guy on the other side of the church answered him. That's not pleasing to God. Also, worship defeats our foe. It defeats our foe. Second Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was in trouble. Judah was in trouble. You know what he did? He prayed unto the Lord. And he sent the choir out. And they began to sing praises. These folks turned on each other and began to kill each other. You see, praises changes people. When we sing praises to God, people say, what's all this about? I want what he's got. Does our attitude toward God, do the things that we say when we're out, does it cause people to look at us and say, man, that guy's different. I want what he has. I need that. Sometimes we feel encircled by the enemy. We feel pressures of Satan and the flesh. Because, see, the battle is going on. The battle is on. What do? You worship. You give thanks to God. Sing praises to him. You see, the devil hates that. He hates what we're doing here today. When we begin to sing this morning, and everybody's got your book out, and you're singing praises to him, the devil don't like that. Now, he likes it when you don't sing. He likes it when you grumble and complain about the guy singing next to you. See, he hates our worship. It's like nails on a chalkboard to him. Or the dentist drill. Y'all, I hate that sound. I was thinking about that one day when I was at the dentist office. And I said, if I can just figure out how to change the sound of that drill, I could become a millionaire. You go to the dentist and it makes a different musical sound, you know. But that grind, that drill running, ooh. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit to the Lord. Our worship declares our faith. What do you believe in? We give thanks unto the Lord, not to the lodge, not to the other things. We sing praises unto the Lord. Our faith grows, and you cannot be moved as you grow in Christ. It's our faith is in the Lord, nothing else. Worship also dethrones our flesh. Psalms 115. In verse 1 it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold and work of men's hands. Listen to this, they're idols. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Kind of like I remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal screaming out to their God. That had to be a funny scene, and because he said, hey, scream a little louder there, you know. He don't hear you. Verse 8 says, they that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. They have their idols and their... He's saying, you're just like your idols. You're blind, deaf, dumb. You become like what you worship. You worship sports. That's all you talk about. You can give all the stats and all these things about sports. That's what you're worshiping. That's what you follow. That's what you love. Hollywood. actors, name any of them, singers. You wear their shirts and so forth. That's who you begin to look like and act like and talk like. But how many of us look like and talk like the Lord? Could somebody see Jesus in me? Or you? You see, when we worship the Lord, it dethrones our flesh. Mary understood that in John chapter 12, where she took that ointment. It was a year's wages. You know how we know that? Because Judas let us know. Hey, what's she doing with that? Wasting that. She understood who he was. See, when we understand who Jesus is, all these other things doesn't matter. Because we're here to worship the one who died for us. The worshiper understands what the scholar never gets. Because she left there with a fragrance of Jesus on her. When we get in the presence of God, we leave and our faces glow. We shine. Let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5 tells us. Remember your first date? Debbie? You know, it's like, wow. Well, maybe. Let's see. Second date? I think about this a little bit. Third date? Maybe. Maybe that's the 20th date. I don't know. Somewhere along there, you have a date and you say, I think so. I think this is the one. See, it didn't take me but a date or two, and I knew. I'm not like my roommate in college. He said the Lord told him that he was going to marry such and such a girl. I said, that wasn't the Lord telling you that. I'm just letting you know. She's running. Somewhere along the line, that marriage, now that's a commitment. You're committed to that person forever. A long life commitment. Wholeheartedly. That's what happened yesterday with Christopher and Gabby. If that's never taken place in your life, your commitment to God, see, our worship here today doesn't make sense to you. You don't know why we're singing songs. That's why it's hard for you to sing sometimes. Maybe you might know a song and you might try to sing it. But the preaching now, I remember this guy sitting in church and he'd sit on the second row and my dad would be preaching and he'd say, purposely tapping his watch so my dad could see him. Y'all just have to know my dad. He'd preach an hour and a half. An hour was nothing. And this guy would tap his watch. That was funny things you see in church when you're growing up. A lot of funny stuff happens. But why are you here? Why did you come today? See, you can't express affection if there's no commitment. If you've never committed your heart to Christ, you don't understand it. But if you can do that if you're wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. And you come with thanksgiving, giving thanks for what he's done, and you sing praises to him. And he delights in that. You can't express things that are not natural to you. You see, I know a guy that I deer hunt, coon hunt, and rabbit hunt. out and squirrel hunting, dove hunting, quail hunting, duck hunting, turkey hunting, bow hunting, muzzleloader, gun, pistol, all of it. I like all of it. But you know a guy, when you're talking to him about deer hunting, when he says, "You're not shooting at those little deers, are you?" Well, first of all, it's not deers, it's deer. See, he don't get it. He don't understand why I like it. Because it's not natural to him. Same thing with you. If you come here today and you don't know the Lord, it's not natural to you. You don't understand why we all want to come and sit in here, this nut up here, talk to you. Why we sing praises to the Lord. You don't get it. Why Brother Tyler gets up and preaches and you say, "Man, what time is it?" Well, we're going to watch y'all today. All you turn around and look at the clock. I'm kidding. You see, we try to say, "I tell you what, let's bring the world into the church. We can have a concert, and the people will come. They'll love that. Motivational speaker, somebody to tell us how good we are. We'll draw a crowd then, I can tell you that. People don't want to hear how sinful they are, but they don't want to hear how good they are." See, our worship to the Lord is real because of our commitment to Him. Did you come today because your bills are piling up? Because your marriage is in trouble? You see, people wait till things like that happen in their life and they'll say, "Well, I'm going to go to church." Well, I'm glad you came to church. But your bills are going to keep piling up and your marriage is going to still be in trouble because you're not committed to the Lord. Psalms 92 says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, for salvation that you provided for us. I thank you for saving me one day. I thank you for these that have come today with a grateful heart to worship you. Lord, help us to give thanks. Help us, Lord, to sing praises to you because of who you are. I know it delights you. Lord, we just praise you for our church. And we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I pray that today you may save that person that does not know you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name.